This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Allergy season is on its way and you need the Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Save $200 on the 3-Pack. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use code Howie3 to order.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
They made it very clear that as you pull back on restrictions, if we do see a significant surge, particularly one that might result in increased hospitalizations, we have to be prepared to pivot.
Turn! Here we go. Pivot! Pivot! Pivot!
Shut up! Shut up! Shut up!
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
President Xi has to decide his place in history and China's place in the world.
Also think about where you want to stand when the history books are written in this moment in time.
Bush. And talking about the significance of the passage of time.
Why? What's the significance? I don't know!
And there is such great significance to the passage of time when we think about a day in the life of our children.
It's about the future, isn't it? I warned you about this, kid. The consequences can be disastrous.
Not that's a risk you're going to have to take.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Time passages. Four times, she said the passage of time in a sound cut that was 25 seconds long. Is it really that good of a song? I mean, I hadn't thought about that song for a long time, but when you hear him say time passages over and over again, how can you not think about it? Even if you don't listen to 70s on 7 on your magic radio. Yikes. Before you say you want Joe Biden gone and that they're greasing the skids for him to go down on this Hunter Biden laptop, be careful what you wish for. You know, the old saying about answered prayers. Think twice. I don't know what the answer is right now. There doesn't seem to be a very good one because number three is Nancy Pelosi. I don't think any of us want her. But she was as bad last week almost as bad as Kamala Harris was when she was talking about waving her right hand around and talking about wanting to bomb the Russian tanks. I mean, she was out of it.
And in this case, they got what they asked for. I went off script a little bit.
I don't know. That would have been a good poll question, actually. Was she on the teleprompter or was she off the teleprompter when she was saying that stuff about passage of time? Anyway, it's time now for the chump line. That's the passage of time. We've come to the passage of time for the chump line.
Oh, lovey. What's a good Cabernet that would pair well with lentils? Oh, of course I'm kidding.
I think I've had lentils a few times, but, you know, I never said, boy, I wish there was a lentil king in the neighborhood, you know, or lentil filet in the neighborhood, so I could go every other day and get me some nice lentil tenders. But Bloomberg thinks everybody should switch over to lentils.
If your anxiety level goes up when you fill up your car with gas and you feel nauseous when you have to pay for it, you just may have the corona virus.
Yeah, when I filled up with gas yesterday in North Palm Beach, I saw that sticker. Not I did that, but the sticker from Nikki Fried, the Commissioner of Agriculture, the only elected Democrat in the state of Florida. The pump is governed by Nikki Fried. Nicole Nikki Fried. And it just, I wish it said Democrat, though. I guess most people know that she is the only Democrat in statewide office in Florida. Thank you, Nikki, for the price of gasoline. Today's Chump Line is brought to you by De Parma, the Italian table on Route 28 in West Yarmouth on Cape Cod. Enjoy their Italian specialties, including their famous linguine and clams, and finish off with Grace's favorite tiramisu. Whether a regular night out with a friend or a special occasion, De Parma, the Italian table, has you covered.
Yesterday was the first day of spring, so I was just calling to see if there's someone, anyone out there, who survived the winter of severe illness and death.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. It was Biden who told us about the winter of severe illness and death and discontent, right? Somehow we soldiered through it. And here it is. We've emerged on the other side to the land of $4.50 a gallon gasoline and empty store shelves.
Well, Ed, did you see that Joe Biden's going to Poland on Friday?
You are correct, sir.
The Polish are actually thrilled. For the first time ever, they won't be the butt of the joke.
Hey-o!
God, can you imagine? But again, what's the alternative to sending him over there? Kamala? Nancy Pelosi? Walsh Marty? The guy from The Outfit? Tony Winkin' Blinkin' and Nod?
Hey, Howie, after reading the Globe, I'm confused. Was January 6th an insurrection caused by the big lie? Or is calling January 6th an insurrection the big lie?
You're reading the Globe a little too carefully, because both of them are true, aren't they?
The significance of the passage of time is that every day we get closer to Joe Biden and Kamala Harris being out of office.
Let's hope so.
14.
Let's keep our fingers crossed that we're going to make it all the way there.
$14 billion for Ukraine? How about we save $9 billion and build a big, beautiful wall that we need?
Yeah. I've got some illegal alien stories, and illegal aliens in the news coming up, and also a dead rapper.
The media are very excited about potentially having the first African-American female leftist hack on the Supreme Court.
Yes. I know, if she says she has no judicial philosophy, then what does it matter that she's a black female? You know, her only qualifications are, the only qualifications they sought out for was a black female. No white males need apply. No white females need apply. No Asian, Hispanic, male or females need apply. Only black females. That was it.
The World Health Organization has determined the new Omicron variant as BS2.
You want to listen to him explaining this stuff. You got to listen to this. Cut 19.
It has a degree of transmission advantage over the original Omicron, but not multifold advantage. So it's about 50 to 60% or so more transmissible, which means ultimately over time, it might take over as the dominant variant. Clearly throughout the world, it's about 80+ percent, 85% of the isolate. In the United States, it's still somewhere around 30%.
Sounds like he's talking about a new, improved Tide. You know, you ever see those boxes in the supermarket? They say, new packaging, exclamation point. Like, who cares? You know, he's trying to sell us a pig in a poke. No matter how you slice it, as Al Smith said, it's still baloney. And he's selling us baloney.
Howie. Joe Biden calling. Come on, man. My grandfather, Ambrose Finnegan, was an all-pro football player. He was even better than Boutros Ghali. In fact, at Super Bowl 15, my grandfather had the winning play, tackling Corn Pop's grandfather, Pop Warner. Not a joke.
Does anyone doubt that if he stays in office, you won't be hearing some variation of that story down the road someday? Well,
there
you'll be
was
here.
An old man named
Ambrose Finnegan.
He had whiskers on his chin again. They fell out and then grew in again. Poor old
man drove Ambrose Finnegan.
Begin again.
You won't be hearing it on MSNBC or NBC. You'll be hearing it on the Howie Carr Show.
That was your last chump line message. Thank you for calling Howie Carr, you chump.
All right. That's it for the Chump Line today. The Chump Line is the recorded voicemail message service of the Howie Carr Show. You can call and leave a message at any time between the hours of 1 and 4 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time every weekday afternoon. The Chump Line number, if you wish to leave such a message, 844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. Press 2 for the Chump Line. Leave your message. And we may or may not play it at this time each weekday. If you didn't hear your message or you'd just like to hear more Chump Line every day, you can always go to Chopped Chumps every weeknight around 7 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. Chopped Chumps is posted. It's all the messages that didn't make the Chump Line just now. And you can find it wherever you find your Howie Carr Show podcast. Today's Chump Line is brought to you by DeParma, the Italian table on Route 28 in West Yarmouth on Cape Cod. Enjoy their Italian specialties, including their famous linguine and clams, and finish off with Grace's favorite tiramisu. Whether a regular night out with a friend or a special occasion, DeParma, the Italian table, has you covered.
Yesterday was the first day of spring, so I was just calling to see if there's someone, anyone out there, who survived the winter of severe illness and death.
Taylor, didn't anyone mention the UNC Tar Heels' glorious victory on Saturday over the defending national champion Baylor Bears?
Not anyone single, as in whom?
Anyone on the Chump Line.
Oh, I have no idea. I doubt it.
If they had lost, if Carolina had lost, blown the 25-point lead, which they almost did because of a terrible call, it certainly would have been mentioned, probably repeatedly. All right. But I'm not better. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
You've got it. From what I've heard here, yeah, you've got it. And you're stuck with it. And I don't care if you wanted to get rid of it. You could. It's always going to be there.
He's Howie Carr. There's no silencing him. They've tried.
You're not going to intimidate me. I'm entitled to my opinion.
Howie Carr.
The Massachusetts minimum wage is $14, but the statehouse minimum wage for lawmakers is over $70,000. The perks and privileges of being a part-time lawmaker include extra pay for travel, free parking, health care, and a pension. Visit massfiscal.org to learn how to run for office. That address again is massfiscal.org. Massfiscal.org. Taylor, what's the poll question? What's the results thus far?
Will the Massachusetts gas tax ever be suspended?
No, that's why we need to elect more Republicans to the state legislature, among many reasons. But no, New Hampshire is going to do it. Connecticut may do it, but Massachusetts never.
97% say no, it'll never be suspended.
All right. 844-500-4242. Limerick guy says, come on, man, it's not possible to blow a 25-point lead on a blown call. Good grief. Well,
come on, man.
They were up by 25 points in the second half against Baylor, the defending champions, the number one seed in Fort Worth. I know it's not their hometown, Baylor, but it's Texas. And so then the top scorer having a career game for Carolina, a guy named Brady Manick, 23 years old. He's, you know, just keeps moving from school to school. He's a gunslinger. And he had 26 points. He was putting in, he couldn't miss. He was on fire. But he elbows this guy who'd been in a fight earlier with another Carolina player. And they throw out Brady Manek, the guy who scored all the points for Carolina with they got a 25-point lead. They just figured, you know, this is embarrassing for the national champions to lose a game like this. So then they start allowing Baylor to mug the Carolina guys coming down the court. I mean, I'm telling you, everything evens out and Carolina won, but it was a really poorly officiated game, if I do say so myself. And I am prejudiced. You're right. You're absolutely correct about that. 844-500-4242. You know what you want to say, how we beat the Baylor Bears. Thank goodness they didn't blow it. You know, I haven't talked much about Carolina this year, and I didn't tweet it out. I was happy when they won, but I didn't tweet it out because I knew that I would be a front runner if I did that. But they almost got it taken away from them.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
I care, okay? I care. It's my show. There are people who care. We have some North Carolina listeners. 844-500-4242. Mr. Garcia cares. You care about the UNC Tar Heels, don't you, Mr. Garcia?
No. Listen,
Dutch cares. Your pit bull dog cares.
I want to know my dog, Dutch, going to vote Republican in November.
Good.
I wanted to tell you that, okay?
I hope he's going to vote two or three times.
We're going to vote maybe four or five times if we want to.
Now the mask has really come off their face, Mr. Garcia, with this story in Bloomberg about how if you're running short of money because of inflation, just kill your dog. This is what they really think, isn't it?
I want to ask you, yes, you're right. I want to ask you a question, this very... very concerning question. How many percent is 50% is rhino the Republican or less or more?
I think it's rhino. Less. I think less than 50%. But it's just, you know, like your former governor, Christy Todd Whitman, she was a rhino. We have a rhino governor in Massachusetts. Maryland has a rhino governor. Vermont has a rhino governor. Look at Maine has a rhino senator. Alaska. There are a lot of rhinos, but they're not a majority, I don't think, are they, Mr. Garcia?
No. But the question here in New Jersey, it's hard to find a good Republican candidate to run because you have to soft little bit. Oh, don't say that. And New Jersey is so hard to find a real
Plus, you have to win. You have to win by enough votes that they can't steal it in Hudson County after midnight.
Essex County.
In Essex County, where you live. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about it? What Sweeney lived down in South Jersey, the Senate president. He thought he was going to steal the election from the truck driver. He was behind by 2,500 votes, and there were 200 left to count. And he said, we'll win in the recount. He ended up not winning, but it was touch and go. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
So today was the first day of hearings before the Senate Judiciary Committee for Biden's nominee for the Supreme Court vacancy left by the retirement of Stephen Breyer. Ketanji Brown Jackson is up for the job. She's on the circuit court in D.C.
As I did 4 days ago, I've nominated the Circuit Court of Appeals, Ketanji Brown Jackson.
Excuse me, I called her a judge. She's a Circuit Court of Appeal. That's her title, according to Joe Biden. So joining us now on the line is Hans von Spakovsky. He's a great writer, and he's an expert on this kind of stuff. Hans, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show.
All right, thanks for having me on.
Do the Republicans have any chance of derailing this?
No, I doubt it. You know, the Democrats are going to vote for her no matter what there is in her background, no matter how troubling her background is. And even if it's a 50-50 split, as you know, the vice president can cast the deciding vote. So they don't have an opportunity to stop her. But what they need to do is bring out, like I said, some of the most troubling aspects of her background.
Yeah. Did someone texted me today and said that she once said she she made a decision because a certain law was outdated, but I couldn't find that online. Is there anything to that, or is that just an urban myth that's going around?
Well, I haven't seen that particular incident, but what I have seen is, look, if you, she was on the Court of Appeals, but remember, before that, for 8 years, she was a district court judge. And what you can see in her decisions is constantly twisting the law to favor the side she wanted to win. And you could see that in case after case. And look, it's very clear that she has a warped view of the Constitution. I'll give you a quick example of that if I can. Look, when she was in private practice, she authored an amicus brief on behalf of NARAL and other abortion groups, saying that the First Amendment should not apply outside of abortion clinics to those who want to speak against abortion. I was like, the First Amendment disappears if you're against abortion, even if you're there peacefully. On the other hand, when she was a judge, she said that the anti-panhandling law in Washington, D.C. was a violation of the First Amendment. Now, you can't reconcile those two views of the First Amendment unless you see that what she does is look ideologically
right
at a case and make a decision that way. I mean, that's the way her whole background has been.
Well, that's what I've been saying, is it seems that it's really disingenuous for her, given her record, to go in there and tell these senators in these individual meetings that she has no specific judicial philosophy, and then to quote Antonin Scalia, that you know, she's there to interpret the law, not to make the law. But that's her record is directly the opposite of that, isn't it?
No, it certainly is, and you have to wonder why are the Democrats in such a hurry to get her confirmed? Remember, Justice Breyer is going to be on the court for another 3 months. The court doesn't end until June. The next session where they need her doesn't start for 6 months until October. And I think we know why they want to hurry it through, because the longer folks research her, the more is coming out. I mean, for example, you know what Senator Josh Harley found, that every time a sex offender got in front of her as a judge, she would give the lightest punishment possible, going beneath the minimum that the U.S. Sentencing Commission has put on. And remember, they're refusing to turn over her records from when she worked for the U.S. Sentencing Commission and when she apparently advocated to eliminate the minimum sentences for child pornographers.
There's a lot of that going around among Democrats, right? Like Joe Biden's Senate records, where Tara Reid may have filed a complaint against him for sexual harassment. It's amazing that these Democrats are all for transparency, except for when it comes to themselves.
Yeah, no, that is definitely true. And look, there's all kinds of other issues that they need to examine and question her about, that, like I said, you just can't reconcile her record with what she's saying now, that, you know, she believes in the rule of law and she'll just apply the Constitution, because that's not what she did as a Court of Appeals judge, and it's not what she did as a federal district trial judge. In fact, she was one of the most overturned trial judges in the D.C. Circuit, which tells you what? That she was constantly ignoring precedent
right
set by the courts above her.
Right. And all the D.C. federal courts are stacked with liberals. So she must have been
right
really out of control if the appeals court in D.C. was overturning her opinions, because they're all liberal, or they're majority liberal, way majority.
No, in fact, they are, because if you'll remember when Harry Reid was the head of the Democrats in the Senate, remember, they added 3 seats to the D.C. Court of Appeals to pack the court with liberals during the Obama administration, because they wanted to ensure that they would have a majority of liberal judges. And yet, yeah, even they have overturned her in various cases.
And what about she represented some defendants pro bono and at Guantanamo Bay, i.e. terrorists. And she claims, oh, she was just assigned that by her law firm. I'm kind of, you know, skeptical of that excuse, too. You know, I mean, I think, you know, you work pro bono and they can ask you to do something. But if you're offended by, say, terrorists and killing American citizens indiscriminately, I think you could turn that one down from even if your most senior partners asked you to take the case. But that's her excuse now.
There is no, look, I've worked at a law firm. There is no law firm in the country that forces, they encourage pro bono work, but there's not a law firm in the country that forces associates to take a particular pro bono case. But not only that, look, she represented terrorist detainees at Guantanamo when she worked for the public defender's office in Washington. Now look, public defenders in Washington and every other city, what's their job? It's to represent poor people in that town who can't afford a lawyer, and yet she chose to use taxpayer funds of the District of Columbia to go represent a terrorist detainee down in Guantanamo Bay. That was her choice, and it was her misusing taxpayer funds that should have been used to defend poor Washingtonians.
Right. And we all understand, as Hunter Thompson once said, that even a werewolf is entitled to a public defender. We all get that. But, you know, do you want someone who's been defending terrorists on the Supreme Court? That's a question that the American public and the senators have to answer, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And particularly when you remember that all the big law firms in places like Boston, New York, Washington, they were falling over themselves to give pro bono legal help to these terrorists down in Guantanamo Bay. There wasn't any need for her to use taxpayer funds to go down there as a public defender and do that. Again, what would drive her to do that? Radical left-wing ideology.
But you know, there's not even going to be much pushback from Fox News Channel on this one, or the Wall Street Journal, because she's somehow an in-law of Paul Ryan's, the former House Speaker who's now on the board of News Corp, right? So I mean, they've got all their bases covered here.
Well, unfortunately, it may be true. And by the way, one of the things I'm tired of hearing, and you heard it all day today, the opening statements was how, oh, this is going to be historic, you know, she's going to be the first black woman put on the Supreme Court. But that's only because of the misbehavior of Democrats. Because remember, during the Bush administration, Bush nominated Janice Rogers Brown to the Court of Appeals of the District of Columbia, and the Democrats filibustered her for as long as possible because they were afraid that if she got on the Court of Appeals, she would be the next Republican nominee to the Supreme Court, and she would have been the first black woman to be.
And wasn't Biden involved in that?
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
So they did everything they could to sabotage her the same way. They also sabotaged Miguel Estrada for the same reason. They didn't want him to be the first Hispanic on the Supreme Court either.
Right, and he was actually an immigrant from Central America. He wasn't even born in the country,
was.
And he was ticketed, and they knew it. And I think that actually showed up in some of their writings that became public, that we've got to stop this guy now, or he's going to get on the Supreme Court. So here are these Democrats. They're stopping people, right? It's typical Democrat hypocrisy. You know, the party of the Klan and massive resistance and Jim Crow is now taking a victory lap for putting people on the Supreme Court when they could have been on decades earlier.
No, that's exactly right. And by the way, just something else that involves Boston is, remember, there's a big case now before the Supreme Court. They're going to hear it in the fall against Harvard University
and UNC, my alma mater.
Because it's very clear that they are discriminating on the basis of race in their admissions, discriminating against Asian American students. And look, she's on the Harvard Board of Overseers. That means she has been involved in and has approved.
Well then she's going to have to
engaging in racial discrimination.
Hans, I would say that means she's going to have to recuse herself from this case.
Oh,
right?
She has to recuse herself. But my point is, I don't think anyone should be on the U.S. Supreme Court that has approved discriminating on the basis of race in college admission.
Oh, I hope somebody raises that that point. That's an excellent point, and it's not just for it. I mean, it's connected to Boston, but it goes far beyond Boston. Everybody should be concerned with this. Because this was an outrageous case, it was decided by an Obama appointee on the district court level, and they brought in this, I don't know, you probably followed the case pretty closely. They brought in this Korean guy to show that they weren't discriminating against Asians, and I kept reading the story, and I'm saying, why did they let this Korean guy into Harvard? You know, because he didn't seem to have any of the qualifications, quote unquote, that they were looking for, and then it came out, Hans. He was uncertain about his sexuality. And I said, I think I know why he got into Harvard. Despite his racial handicaps. And I think I can say he had racial handicaps being an Asian. But yeah, it's so they're going to lose a vote then on that Harvard case if she gets on the Supreme Court. Don't you think?
Yeah, no, I think so. But like I said, she has to recuse herself. But I don't, like I said, I don't think she should be on the court for that. And remember, it's not just Harvard that's up before the Supreme Court, because the same folks that brought the lawsuit against Harvard also sued the University of North Carolina, which is also discriminating.
My alma mater.
In their college admission.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I'm rooting for the plaintiffs against my own school. I hope.
So am I.
It's listen, Hans Spakovsky, if people want to follow your work, where do they go?
Go to heritage.org, heritage.org, and they'll find everything I've written about her and about all these different cases.
All right, thanks, Hans. We'll have you on again. We want to talk about voting rights and all these cases that are wending their way through the state courts and the legislatures. Thank you, Hans Spakovsky from the Heritage Institute. 844-500-4242. To all my listeners with an IRA or 401k, this is an urgent warning. The world is on fire and you need to protect your retirement savings. If you have more than $50,000 in a 401k or IRA or any other retirement savings, your money could be at risk. I protect my savings with physical gold and silver, and you should think about precious metals as well to protect your retirement in this chaotic environment. Just consider the current situation. There are foreign wars, spiraling inflations, interest rate hikes, proposed tax increases, spiraling national debt. The Democrats' only plan is to print more money. And you know how that's working out at the supermarket, at the gas station, wherever. It's Jimmy Carter all over again. When the world looks like this, people turn to gold. It's a historical fact, and it's happening again here in the Brandon administration. It's time to diversify. That means precious metals. You need to learn how to protect your life savings with physical gold and silver, not Bitcoin, as I do. Visit goldco.com/HowieCarr and receive your no-obligation Biden inflation report. That's goldco.com/HowieCarr, and the IRA experts at Goldco will give you up to $10,000 in free silver when you open a qualifying account. That's why Goldco is the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Go to goldco.com/HowieCarr. The experts at Goldco have helped thousands of Americans own gold and silver in their retirement savings to protect against inflation and tax hikes. They helped me, and now they can help you too. That's goldco.com/HowieCarr. I'm Howie Carr.
You're listening to the Howie Carr Radio Network.
You gotta ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
The Howie Carr Show.
Azig Azumba. Yeah, we're getting sued. I can't say we when it comes to the whole university. I won't say we for the basketball team. Bruce from the Mets says that's why he doesn't watch basketball anymore. It's the officials just call things that they're, you know, however they want to twist the game around. Yeah, it was really a badly called game, you know. And again, it turned out well. I like how it turned out. I'm glad Carolina made the 16. I'm glad they knocked out Baylor. but it was not good, not well officiated. 844-500-4242. Dennis, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Dennis.
Hey, Howie. Yeah, hey, love the show, man. I guess it's all wasted on me. I worked at UNC at the hospital, and
yeah.
I escorted Roy Williams through the hospital at one time. And I used to go to Keenan Stadium and, you know, be able to walk in there because I worked
as a football stadium.
Security.
Yeah.
Yeah, right out the back door of the hospital, and it was quite a sight. It was wonderful going to the games, but it was you know, sort of, like I said, sort of wasted on me this Tar Heel thing and everything. I'm an old Selma guy, you know, and I worked for the hospital for 10 years.
Yeah,
and I seen so many things down here, and right now it's starting to break out for spring. I called you last week, and I was talking about the St. Patrick's Day parade. But what I left out was, usually we'd set up in front of the, with the kids, I'd set up in front of the police station on Broadway. But one year, we were directed into the neighborhood, and there was people up on the roofs of the three-deckers. It was a mad scene. Everybody was running around with beer. The club sales went through with the, you know, the Budweiser, you know, thing. And then a few minutes later, the home or crane service with their Clydesdales went through. And there was a politician, and I wish I knew who it was. He was walking to the parade there, and he was waving at people, and he wasn't paying attention. And he walked through a pile of Clydesdale refuse.
I wish you could remember his name.
Oh, God.
That's a pretty funny story. Did you see the picture? We tweeted it out and gettered it out. Charlie Baker, it's in the Herald today. Charlie Baker gave Chris Dempsey, the soon-to-be also-ran Democrat candidate for auditor, he gave him the finger. He said something to Charlie Parker, and Charlie Parker finally grew a pair after all these years of just turning the other cheek and screwing the taxpayers. He finally gave somebody the finger. Little too late. Better late than never. A day late and a dollar short. That's
You're
Charlie Parker. Yeah, I am. I'm a loser. You couldn't win the primary, and I'm a loser. Sorry, Charlie.
Sorry.
Yeah. Don't tell us you're sorry. We know how sorry you are. Speaking of old country songs I used to listen to in North Carolina. 844-500-4242. When we come back, we're going to do Thanks, Brandon, and we'll take some other calls too as well. I'm Howie Carr.